This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Studios. This is the award-winning After Nine with Scott and Kat.
Powered by Tony Johal, broker at RE/MAX Twin City.
Your home sold guaranteed or he'll buy.
Happy Bartender Appreciation Day.
Hey, bartender. Hey, bartender.
Slip me a bottle of bourbon.
You set him up and I'll knock him back, Lloyd. One by one.
Happy motherfucking Friday!
You've been waiting a while to say
that. Yeah, I was. It felt good. Felt real good.
National Bartender Day today. What's up to all the lovely bartenders out there? I know there's guys at 10 bar. I just don't pay attention to them.
Right. I've tended bar. It's an interesting job. And at a family restaurant, which makes it that much more interesting because you never know what you're going to get at a family restaurant being a bartender.
Do people who come into family restaurants order good booze? Do they order good liquor? Like, will somebody come in there and order a fancy cocktail, or is it all just, let me open a bottle of beer for you?
Occasionally, I remember having to dust off once, and we're like, I don't know if we carry that. We never even had a drink menu at this place.
You're like, Black Label? Like, what the hell does that mean?
We had no idea. And I remember searching through cupboards to try to find things, being like, I don't know, do we have that? Is that a thing we have? This might be really old. Is that okay?
Triple sec.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
I can get you barbecue sauce.
It's weird.
Amarula. I wonder what that goes in.
Sounds Italian.
Not very fancy. This was out of Montana's. It did not get that fancy.
That's what I'm wondering.
No.
Who the fuck goes into a Montana's and like to drink? You go in there for a great, for a nice meal and a beer or I'll have a rum and coke. I don't think you make anything overly complicated at Montana's.
I think there's like three martini glasses, which would become a problem if more than three people wanted to have a martini at once. We'd have to put it in like a different glass, like a tumbler.
I would say, though, that some of the Montanas, at least I know from a couple of years ago, they were starting to go towards more of a like an adult bar kind of design where it wasn't so much like the
honky tonk.
Yeah, there wasn't like a truck hanging from the roof. Like there's some, you know, some like, you know, wheelbarrow hanging from the ceiling.
It's the one I always was afraid was going to fall on people. Like I thought any moment, you know, what was gross too. I'll tell you this quickly too. This is disgusting. And there's some restaurants that have it now and I will not name them. If you see a moose hanging on the wall at a restaurant, okay, you know this happens occasionally. Don't sit under that table.
What?
I'm not kidding you when I tell you those moose hairs fall onto the table and possibly onto your food.
I was going to ask
if it's fucking
like
gross.
The splash zone or something.
No, it's moose hairs.
Can I tell you, I'm kind of happy that it's moose hair and not like a pube or something, because if I find hair, I just assume
okay
that that's what it is.
I'm not okay with any of it. Like, I don't want any of the hair, thanks.
Yeah. Whether it's real or not.
Yeah, the bartenders are a... They're a special breed. They work their butts off and they make us happy. Whether it's just talking to us or pouring us something that'll make us happy.
Or,
I love them.
I like a good bartender that will go off of a, help me out. Give me a suggestion. You know, here's what I like and here's what I don't like. As long as you give them a little bit of something. I like the ones that are like, what do you like? You like citrus? You feel in the mood for something citrusy? I got you. And they just come back with a concoction that they whipped up. And you're like, wow, that's a good bartender to figure that out.
Well, in the location you're at, it's everything served in a mason jar.
Everything's in a mason jar. You're not wrong.
Nothing looks super
fancy.
You've
been there a few times, eh? I remember the mason jars.
The iced tea and the Pepsi are the same thing. You can't even tell them apart.
They're all watered down so much, you can't tell.
Sorry we didn't have an episode yesterday, guys. They were doing some upgrades to our studio, but it's good news because they've put new technology in. They're constantly reinvesting into After Nine. So starting next week... And we're not even really sure how this is going to go.
This will be interesting.
But I think it was Dave's idea. Let's take callers during After Nine.
So if this goes really well, are we giving Dave credit for this?
If it goes well?
Yeah.
No.
No, no, no.
You only blame the boss if it goes wrong.
I knew it.
Fucking idiots don't know what they're doing around here.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if it does go well, it's because you executed it so well.
Yeah,
I'm just giving you the tools to succeed.
Look at you.
That's all.
Look at you.
That's going to be a lot of fun, and what we'll do is whatever we're talking about, we'll probably send a tweet or post something on Facebook and give out the number because it's going to be a new number to learn, but Well, you don't remember any other numbers, so you don't need to remember this one either. Just put it in your phone once and you're good to go.
How many phone numbers do you remember, by the way?
It's so weird because I know your number.
Mm-hmm.
I know Kat's number.
Do you know my number?
Yeah.
Really? Good for you.
I know your numbers. I remember the number that I grew up with when I was a kid in Cambridge.
Same.
But I do not even know my girlfriend's number or my kids' phone numbers.
Yeah.
They're in my phone. I don't need to know them.
Right.
And they're backed up to the cloud.
You hope you just know the ones that you might need in an emergency situation or in your daily life of if I lost my phone and I happened upon a phone I could call somebody at, right?
It's gotten to the point where, because you don't remember the numbers, it's like you ask somebody if you can borrow their phone so you can jump on Facebook and message them or something like that.
Yes.
That's so weird.
It is weird.
We have a lot to cover in this episode, and we do have a special guest, as promised. ET Canada's Cheryl Hickey is going to come on. She sat down with Ed Sheeran for a big interview that's going to air tonight on Global at 7:30. Now, speaking of primetime interviews, before we talk about Cheryl's interview with Ed Sheeran tonight, what the fuck was that last night with Alec Baldwin?
Mm-hmm.
That was messed up.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of it, either of you?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on it, Dave?
You know what? It's like he got the advice of a lawyer.
Yep.
Don't say specific things. But when certain things came up, he wanted to talk about it.
Yep.
But left so many details that it just made the story seem way, way, way more convoluted than we thought it was.
We left more confused than we did when we came in. That's how I felt about
it.
I'm even more confused. And experts, I feel like it would have been better to say nothing at all. You don't need to speak right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if a lawyer suggested that he even did. Maybe that is the case for his own reputation. Maybe that's why. Maybe for his mental health. Like, who knows? Maybe for his mental health, he needed to talk about it. I hated the way ABC made it this like dramatic thing as if it wasn't about someone who died. Like, somebody died and they're just making it this dramatic one-night event.
Yes. And you know, the follow-up too is a lot of the, so who pulled the trigger? It's like somebody's dead.
Yeah, it's not. I didn't like it. I thought it was a poor taste.
Here is a little bit from last night.
Bang, the gun goes off. Well, everyone is horrified. It's loud. They don't have their earplugs in. No one was. The gun was supposed to be empty. She goes down. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round in that gun did not dawn on me till probably 45 minutes to an hour later.
45 minutes to an hour?
Well, she's laying there and I go, did she get hit by wadding? Was there a blank? Sometimes those blank rounds have a wadding inside. No one could understand. Did she have a heart attack?
Did you go up to her? Did you back away?
I went up to her and then we were immediately told to get out of the building. We were forced to get out of the building. The medics came in. I mean, I stood over her for 60 seconds and she just lay there kind of in shock.
Was she conscious?
My recollection is yes.
That's the lawyer prep, right? To the best of my
recollection.
It all, you know, we're so obsessed with like the true crime genre, like just people in general. And the way that they had positioned this and the dramatic music behind it and all of it just doesn't feel good.
I just don't think it helped his reputation. I think that's what he wanted to happen is we feel bad for him. And don't get me wrong, I actually do feel as though he is extremely sad. It's a poor way to put it, but he is not happy right now. He is depressed over this. And he actually said if it wasn't for his wife, he would have had suicidal thoughts. That's basically what he said without saying it at one point.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for his wife being there for him through this whole thing. And I don't deny that he feels like shit, but don't tell me you didn't realize there might be a live round, because apparently there were target practices happening constantly, which you're not supposed to do on the set of a film ever, ever, ever. You're gonna act like you didn't hear that go off outside this cabin in the middle of nowhere. You're gonna hear gunshots go off. You're telling me you didn't ask questions? Why wouldn't you ask? If you're really Mr. Safety and making sure, then you would have checked. Because you were a producer on that film too.
That's the thing. He's a producer and he's one of the people who's named in the lawsuits.
Yeah, you should be more careful.
Well, listen, I mean, I think at the core of it, it comes back down to whose job is it? And you hear someone like Clooney, for example, who will come out and say, that's not how it's done. The safety way to do it is the armor will take the gun and they're going to show you that it's cleared and here's the chamber. You can see right through it. That means there's no bullets in it. Great. And then you as the actor take the gun and verify it again yourself. And then you go ahead and do the scene.
And the person who you're supposed to be shooting at is supposed to see that exact same thing
right.
too.
So three different people are supposed to be involved. Now, Baldwin said, I trust people on the set to do their job. And I, when the armor, the person who's there to make sure the gun is empty and not have live bullets in it, when they tell me it's a cold gun, I take their word for it.
See, and that's where the story gets so false, because the armorer did not hand him the gun.
The assistant director did.
Yes, it's not, that is, right away, you should have said no. If you really gave a fuck, you would have said, no, where's the armorer? Show me this gun. He didn't. He did screw up. He doesn't want to admit it, but he just did screw up too. He's a guilty party in this.
I would think, I haven't been on too many movie sets myself, but I would think that it would be the last thing in my mind is to check the props myself as
me
an actor.
Me too.
I wouldn't even think twice about it. Mm-hmm. I would think if somebody hands me something, I'm going to assume that they've done their job, and maybe that's part of the problem. But is he qualified to check a gun?
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't even seem to understand how they work. But I mean, he's talking about, maybe it's this clip here. You know, I'm going to play this clip here where he talks about the gun and what he did. And I'm surprised that he's surprised that it fired. Mm. Listen to this.
Now, in this scene, I'm going to cock the gun. And I said, do you want to see that? And she said, yes. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
Yeah, that's how a gun works. You pull the trigger, it makes the hammer hit the impact point on the bullet, and then the projectile goes out.
Is more education needed? I'm sure. I know they're taking a look at this anyway. And when I say they, I mean every single production. We've already heard Dwayne The Rock Johnson say any production of mine is not even using these guns anymore. Even these prop guns, not being used. It's going to be rubber. We'll fix it in post. The reason why they don't do that now is because it's expensive
right.
to go back and fix it in post. It's a way to do it kind of cheapy. And it also is that real feeling of that gun coming back at you a little bit, right? You're an actor. Pretend it is. That's your job. Have rubber guns on set, and then nobody needs to die.
From now on, it's finger guns and water guns only.
Pew, pew.
Yeah.
Oh, is he an actor? Because I don't think he mentioned that last night. Fuck's sake. Every time that guy opens his mouth, you get a little bit more of his resume. It's fucked up.
Even that, even what you just played sounded like it was part of a job.
Yeah. Here's a little more of it.
So you have this Colt 45 you just pulled...
The hammer as far back as I go without cocking the actual.
And you're holding on to the hammer.
I'm holding that. I'm just showing. I go, how about that? Does that work? Do you see that? Do you see that? She goes, yeah, that's good. I let go of the hammer. Bang, the gun goes off.
So for those who can't visualize it, think of a movie set. You've probably seen them on TV. And you have the camera guy sitting in a chair at the camera. Directly to his lower right, sitting down, is the woman who got shot. And she was looking through the television monitor to try and get the shot framed perfectly. So when Baldwin says, yeah, so I pulled back the hammer. I didn't cock it. By the way, that is cocking it, just so everyone knows. But when he was trying to get it framed in the shot, if you think about it, now he's got the gun pointed right at the camera to get the angle that the cinematographer wanted. And she was in the line of fire. So when he released the hammer... Boom, projectile came out because it was a live bullet. He said he's pretty sure it shot her like in her armpit. So it went horizontally through her chest from, say, right to left, out the other side, and shot the camera guy in the shoulder because they were so close together. Crazy how this happened. Mm-hmm. Like fucking crazy. One in a million shot. The fact that it even happened is terrible. And before I watched that interview last night, I just thought it's horrible what happened and I feel bad for Baldwin, but it's an accident. Watching it last night, I feel less confident that was 100% coincidence and nobody did anything nefarious.
I get the sense that it was an accident, but it just sounds like the whole situation was poorly handled, mm-hmm. all of it. Regulations weren't being followed. Safety protocols weren't being followed. I have to be fair with this because I did watch clips, but it felt like there was a lot of jumping around. Like he remembers very specific details leading up to it. Like very, very precise. But then there's a lot of, oh, I don't remember. Well, I don't remember, you know, some of the other questions that were being asked. And then I got to think that if a coworker is on the ground, like he said, he stood over her for 45 to 60 seconds, right?
Yep.
So he's standing there. At one point, he'd go, ah, I'm sure it's fine, and walked away. like, and then he's like, I didn't even know that she had died. But you stood over her for a minute. Like, I think you could take in a lot of information in a minute. Like, people are clearly rushing to this person to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But where did he stop being part of that and just go, well, see you later?
Yeah. Which, by the way, that sounds exactly like him.
Can I
see? Oh, I will be in my trailer. I'm going to go have a Perrier.
Yeah. Nobody is. No. Nobody's more Alec Baldwin than Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, listen to this again for just a second, and then I want to point something out.
Bang, the gun goes off. Well, everyone is horrified. It's loud. They don't have their earplugs in. No one was. The gun was supposed to be empty. She goes down. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round.
What do you suppose everyday conversation around his house with his wife is like? Because I imagine it sounds just like that. That kind of intensity for everything.
You know, you did present me with an option of regular pancakes, but you also offered me chocolate chip pancakes. And the notion never went through my head. That I
don't
have.
You know I'm an actor and I don't make those choices?
I could have one or the other, but it really hadn't dawned on me at that point which one I wanted.
Sweetie, could you drive the kids to school this morning?
What route do you think is the best route to take when I am transporting my children from point A to point B? And let me be clear about this. There's no other points in between. It's point A to point B. And that's it. That's how you get where you need to go. Point A to point B. You see what I'm saying?
That's great.
Cheryl Hickey from ET Canada is coming up in a few minutes. We will get her on the phone. But first, because we couldn't do an episode yesterday, and I feel like it needs just a little bit of attention, a quick circle back on Bonnie Lissick and the Ontario Auditor General's report yesterday. We all heard it. Bonnie flagged $210 million in pandemic funding that went to businesses that were not eligible. Mm. Let's talk about, just quickly here, how many different ways you can fuck up handing out money. This is the Ontario government. This is the Ford government. I know that they only had a couple of days to set it up. And even the auditor general conceded. They only had a couple of days to get it done. They were in a rush. But good Lord, did they ever fuck this up? For example, the minimum amount that you were allowed to claim was $10,000. There were some businesses who declared like, yeah, we lost about $100 in business. Yeah, we're out about $100. But the minimum is $10,000. So for a $100 claim, they got $10,000.
How does that make sense? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And the worst part of this all is because we can all admit that, yeah, it was in a rush and it was strange times and the government had never even contemplated a program like this on such a wide scale, especially still a fairly new government because they were only halfway through their first term. Then you get this finance minister, Peter Bethenfalvy, who I used to like. I thought, oh, there's a smart guy who probably knows a lot about the books. He says the government won't try to recoup most of the funding that went to ineligible recipients because he thinks most people applied in good faith.
No.
But
you son of a bitch. What don't you understand about taxpayer dollars? Didn't they come to power? Didn't Doug stand there on whatever soapbox he was on and fucking insist that they're going to respect the taxpayer's money? What does Doug always say? The worst way to spend your money is to give it to government because they're bad at it. No shit.
Wow.
If that's what happened, you guys lost almost $250 million, handed it out to businesses that weren't eligible. And because you think they applied in good faith.
You know what's scary?
You're not going after it?
This is super scary to me. The Joker in the Batman movie, when he did the parade where he shot the money out of the cannons and stuff into the people, that's a better method of handing out the money than the government just put into place.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Have you ever seen such gross, raw incompetence? Well, we pissed away $250 million, but yeah, it's just $250 million. We could just print more.
Are some of the companies that did receive more money than they actually requested, I suppose is the right way to put it, going to step forward and say anything?
I wouldn't.
They're not going to, right?
Where's the incentive to do that? So far, they've created no incentive to do the right thing.
Yeah, if they're saying that they're not going to bother going back and trying to recoup
the
money.
They're taking the money.
Yeah.
You listen here, Peter Bethenfalvy and Doug Ford, because now it's not just pissing off the liberals, because I know you guys love it, and that's fine. That's part of the game. Now you're pissing off your own base. Now you're pissing off conservatives. You better go get that fucking money now, like a mob-style shakedown.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Get Doug in a hoodie, pound it on the fucking doors of whatever business got more money than they should have, if they were even eligible in the first place, and say, I want my money. Give me my money.
I can't believe they're not asking for it back, though.
Because they're fucking
idiots.
What
world are we living in?
Like, honest to God, you know, they were doing so well, and then they shit the bed for a year, and then they were starting to come back. And then they do something like this.
How many of them are there? Do we know? We need to know a number. Like, how many businesses requested, let's say, the $100 to even like $5,000, whatever it might be, and got that much money?
Yeah, I don't have that number, Kat. It's in the report, and the report is online. You can actually read it at scottandkat.ca. But let me just tell you, I have never seen, and from this government in particular, it shocks me, I have never seen such a gross waste of taxpayer money. Well, I have,
yeah.
But this is the newest example of gross waste.
Well, we've seen waste. I think what is most frustrating with this is the kind of laissez-faire attitude of,
They probably meant well. It's fine.
It's no big deal.
Yeah,
good faith.
That's a lot of money to say that's no big deal to.
Yeah.
One more thing that I want to flag from the Auditor General's report, is the OCS, the Provincial Cannabis Distributor. According to the Auditor General, their inventory forecasts are frequently off by wide margins, leaving customers empty-handed and the licensed producers very frustrated. Bonnie Lissick reached that conclusion by comparing the OCS's inventory forecasts made between January and June of this year with actual demand. She says the inaccurate forecast means there's a mismatch between what customers want to buy and what's actually for sale. That is what fuels the illicit market. Now, the OCS, they've got a defense, obviously. They're blaming their inaccurate forecasting on COVID.
Mm.
Oh, it's the COVID's fault that you guys ordered 50 million fucking cans of cannabis-infused sugar water when, as it turns out, people wanted pre-rolls. Or you ordered all this fucking flour and people wanted edibles. How do you get that disconnected from your customers? How? Because, you know, the regular run-of-the-mill small business guys that have opened up shops all over the place, they're responsible for their own ordering.
Yeah.
Apparently, the top of the chain fucked the whole thing right up. In fact, they may have actually driven people to the black market because they didn't have what people wanted.
I'm not even surprised by that, actually. None of that surprises me.
Yeah.
None of it.
You know, Kat, the gross incompetence, it's just astounding.
It's like we're numb to it now. Does anyone else feel that?
Oh, when I heard the story, first of all, going back to the wasted money and the disappearing $250,000 almost, I kind of went, uh-huh.
Makes sense.
It didn't. I wasn't like, the hell you say? I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It didn't feel weird.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off on this. Maybe my expectations of respecting taxpayer dollars are just too unrealistic. Maybe I should actually be happy about this in that it was only $250 million. It was only $250 million. It could have been a full-blown billion.
Yeah. Fuck you, Doug!
Why stop
there? Could have been worse.
So could have been a trillion. Could have been a gazillion.
Could have been a gazillion dollars that they wasted, and they didn't. So pat that son of a bitch on the back.
Yeah.
Great job, Doug. You only fucked up $250 million.
Give him some flowers. He's good. Like, imagine that. Imagine if that was the report that came out. It turns out that there is a bagazillion unaccounted $4.
We have to come up with a new name for the amount of zeros that we're seeing here. This is outrageous. A bagazillion.
We're not even sure how many zeros.
A broccoldrillion. It's a broccoldrillion.
And you know,
it's a new thing now. Thank you to you.
Because I'm not big on numbers, I'd like to bring my new statistician, Arthur, because he's been working on numbers in school and he's got
a new
one for us.
He just finished grade 8 math and he even realizes how much this is.
Dinosaurillion, says Arthur.
It's a kerfuffleillion.
No, even Arthur's going, what the fuck?
Yeah, we should just call it a clusterfuckillion at this point.
Clusterfuckillion.
What a mess.
It's a total mess. How do you feel about Mexico, Dave? You haven't been there recently. You've opted to go to other islands. Do you have any problem with the Mexican people, or would you go if you were invited?
I would absolutely go if I was invited. I've actually never been to Mexico.
You've never been? Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
Pizza Pizza has announced they're expanding into Mexico next year.
Oh.
They say they've signed a master franchise agreement with a Guadalajara-based company. They'll be selling just like they do here. You'll be able to call, I don't know, 000-1111 or whatever it is, and order yourself a pizza, cauliflower crust down in the fucking Mayan Riviera.
I have a feeling it's going to be a little different. Remember how I told the story a couple weeks ago about the subway in Dominican Republic?
Yes.
I wonder if it'd be like that. Like, I don't know if you'll get the same menu items or you get some different things here and there.
Have Mexicans like even had potato wedges before? I doubt it.
Ooh. Pickle spears. Get these people some breaded pickles.
Senor, I don't like.
What is this dill dip?
Why, no why, bueno.
And they're trying this pizza, not good.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out why everybody needs dipping sauce now. They're like, what? Why?
You tell me, I would have believed you if you would have said pizza was already there.
Yeah.
You know. I'm actually kind of surprised there. Well, it's not, because every place, well, especially Mexico, is so Americanized as it is. It's very Americanized.
Yeah, absolutely.
The food, when you go there on the resort, it's basically like you're eating at a buffet over here at the Mandarin.
There is
a little bit of everything.
At the airport.
Just a lot of avocados, though. A lot of avocados.
Tons of them. The airport in Punta Cana has a Wendy's, has a Taco Bell, has a Pizza Hut, all of that. And I was looking at the Wendy's one. They had like the spicy chicken sandwich. They had the, you know, the
Dave's Original.
Dave's Original, all of that stuff. And I'm like, huh. And I completely expected them to have, you know, sorry, we don't have fries. We have rice and beans. Something like that. Something that
you
would
have tortilla
make it,
chips.
Yeah, something that would make it culturally relevant to the people that are there. But I guess those who are traveling out of the country are usually not people that live there.
Right.
So I was like, oh, all right. Okay, I see that. So I wonder if they would do anything different with the menu. Or if they're just, no, just we're just getting in and getting some pizza to the Mexicans.
Do you order it to your resort, or is this for the Mexican people, or is it for tourists that are in Mexico? Yeah. I have no idea what their plan is.
I got to say this, and all the love in the world to Pizza Pizza. I love that they're innovative when it comes to trying new things with their menu and trying to reach people with, you know, vegan cheese and things like that. Cauliflower crust, love it. Love that they're doing that. Gluten-free options out the wazoo. That's amazing. I love that.
But I'm waiting for the but.
If I'm going to Mexico, the last place I am going to dine is Pizza Pizza. Mm-hmm. And not because of the quality of the food. It's because I'm in Mexico and I want an authentic experience.
Yeah.
But you can just call 967-1111.
Yeah. Whatever the, however you say 11, and it's, I don't know how to say it.
Uno, uno.
Yeah, I'm done, and I don't know what's next. I don't know what to do after that. But you know what I mean? Like, if you go to Mexico, are you planning to stop in at Pizza Pizza? Are you going to go to a chain? Or are you going to go look for an authentic experience?
No, I want an authentic experience. I want a fucking taco on a pizza.
Oh, that's fair.
But very authentic.
That's very gluttonous. When you go on vacation, you get gluttonous. It's like, you know, put a taco on a pizza, please.
I'm thinking more about when you're drunk. And you know, there's always like a midnight buffet, basically. But usually, depending on the resort, what they put out there in the middle of the night is just like the leftovers.
It's not edible. It's gross. You got to be really fucking drunk to eat that
you
shit.
Usually
you
are.
Stop it. But stop thinking, it. Stop it, Kat.
What?
Stop it right now. You know that if you go to a resort and you drink way too many tequila poppers and it's late at night, you have earned those 9-hour old French fries. And you will eat them and you will hate them. And then you will wake up and you will hate yourself for eating them. And that is a rite of passage.
They did hot dogs. They did hot dogs at the one I was at the last time.
What? Fucking resort did you go to?
Boiled hot dogs on like a line?
This is all you could get at like 1 a.m. though. Yeah. It was like that was because there was only one place open at the whole resort. And they served up these really shitty hot dogs. But we all ate them. You're not wrong. We ate them.
Can I don't mean to throw a curveball here, but I want to throw this out there because you mentioned hot dogs. I just found in this studio a crumpled up receipt from Costco.
Oh, I know whose that is.
And it...
I know whose that is.
Legitimately.
It's not Scott's.
It's one item. It's a Costco hot dog.
Really?
This person's bill was $1.58.
Do you
want
to guess?
Who ate a Costco hot dog and wanted a receipt?
Do you want to play a game of...
I can write this off.
Because I know who it is. They were in here with me.
Who is it?
Do you want to guess?
I don't know.
Was it Joey?
No.
Daryl!
Oh, really? Yeah. So he went to Costco and got himself a hot dog?
Yeah, when you're hungry, you're hungry.
And apparently asked for a receipt. Why the fuck would you do that?
Well, do you need the receipt if you're leaving with the hot dog? Like, you know how they like give you, like they take the Sharpie and put the black line through your receipt?
If you're leaving with a hot dog, they need to make sure you paid for the hot dog.
And they're so smug, too, about it. Like, everything checks out. This man just has a hot dog. You can let him go. It's like, I feel like I'm like under surveillance when I go up to the front there. Yeah, a single receipt for $1.58. Look at how much paper is printed out.
It's true.
That's a waste of paper.
This is more than $1.58 worth of paper in my hand.
That's got to be, I think that you have to have a separate receipt, though. It's not like you can go to Costco and buy like a case of crackers and a case of soup and salami or whatever the fuck you buy, and then you can't buy the hot dog in the same shot. So you got to go to a separate, you got to go to the place.
I'm also just looking at the time of the receipt. 9:59 a.m.
Wow.
This man bought a hot dog at Costco before 10 a.m.?
I didn't even know they served them before 10 a.m.
Like 29 minutes sooner, he was still on the radio.
That's what he's.
That's how quickly he got to fucking Costco and got a dog.
That man is a hero.
And what are you thinking at that point of the morning that I got to get me a hot dog? How far in advance did he plan to go get a single hot dog from Costco?
I bet you he's thinking about it all morning. I bet you during the morning show he was just thinking,
I really want
a Costco hot dog.
Costco hot dogs. That's amazing.
He's the best. I'm not even surprised. That's amazing.
Okay, guys, it is time. We're going to call Cheryl here, but this is also a good time that we could take a break. But a little inside info about the podcast is we do the podcast like we do. And then afterwards, sometimes, occasionally, if there's commercials that need to play during it, they just get inserted after the fact. So right now, you're either going to hear us call Cheryl Hickey or you're going to hear Alan Cross talk about your new car warranty for a bit. And then you'll hear Cheryl Hickey. I really don't know which way it's going to go down, but...
Surprise!
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy Priceline.
Hello.
Hey, Cheryl, it's Scott and Kat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great, thank you. Big interview tonight with Ed Sheeran. How much fun did you have doing that?
Oh, he's so fantastic. He's the guy you want to go to the pub with and have a drink, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, he seems that way. He seems very down to earth. And before we ask you some more stuff about that, I want to say, you probably don't remember this, but I want to say thank you. Many years ago, I met you, and it was at the Geminis, and I think it was like, the Gemini Awards. It was like 2006 or something, and I was about to go to school for broadcasting. And I remember being like, oh, Cheryl Hickey is here. And it took me so much courage, but I did it. And I asked you a couple of questions, and you actually said, sit down at my table. So I don't know if you probably don't remember it, but you did.
I don't remember yesterday.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Neither does Kat. It's fine.
I don't either. Barely.
Aww.
But anyway, you gave me some great advice and you took so much time to chat with me. So again, you probably don't remember. I've got a picture floating around somewhere of the two of us, but you are, you're awesome. You are awesome.
Aww. That's so very nice. Send me a picture of the picture.
I will.
With faces. I'll remember if I see it.
Okay. I will send that to you.
Listen, I remember what it was like starting out in broadcasting, and everyone usually tells you there's no jobs. It's the worst time to get in the industry. That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
But it's just not true. If you want it bad enough, and look where you are now. Yeah. It's amazing.
And I remember you saying, actually, like, what you're doing right now, that's one of the things. Like, you're talking to people. You're learning
things.
You're, you know. So, that's fantastic. We're excited to see this one-on-one interview with Ed Sheeran. Is there anything that we're going to learn that we might not know?
I mean, we always knew that Ed was a very thoughtful person. I mean, you just listen to his music, and you definitely can see that. But I don't know, there was something really special about this album, and I think he was very vulnerable about the place that he was in when writing it. I mean, he'd lost a really dear friend, he had the birth of his child, you know, going through marriage with his wife. There was a lot of big life things happening, and I think it's really reflective in his music, and he's very open and honest about that, just about how he was handling all of those things.
We're going to play a preview in just a few minutes. It's a preview of tonight's interview. It's on Global at 7:30. Cheryl Hickey sits down with Ed Sheeran, and he performs Shivers as well, right?
He does. He does an acoustic version of Shivers. Oh.
I don't know about you, but I love that song. Like, I feel like that's a big song this year.
It is a huge song this year. You're right. And I'm fascinated. Like, what makes a song go off like that? Like, what is it? Like, I wish I knew what the formula was, because there's certain songs where you're like, yeah, that makes sense that it hit, and that's one of those ones.
He's smart. He bases his songs like you're supposed to base your relationships. It's 100% about the other person. Every time he sings Shivers, you can tell that it's like a love letter to his wife almost, yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, I love it. I just want my husband to sing that to me. And that's not going to happen.
Honey, I need you to learn how to play guitar.
Oh, I would just. I can't. A man who can play a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing. You've seen a lot of stories this year, Cheryl. There's been some very interesting ones. There's been ups and downs. I want to know, and I'm sure that ET Canada will come up with their top list, but what is Cheryl Hickey's top story of 2021?
Ooh, Britney.
Britney.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one.
It's got to be Britney. I think there were so many revelations, so many moments. I feel social media played such a big part in this story. Her fans played such a big part in the story. For me, it was definitely Britney Spears. I think that the evolution of her, we're witnessing it right now. So, I think that.
Quick question. For anybody who can't watch the Ed special tonight that you're doing on Global, is it going to be available on demand or on Stack TV or anything like that for someone to watch later on this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be available on demand.
Okay, we're going to do a little preview right now. Cheryl, thank you very much. We appreciate you as always. And good luck tonight with your Ed Sheeran interview.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Cheryl.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
I feel like all of this really is a cause for change. It happens so fast. And we have those parenting fails. Have you ever experienced that moment where you were like, oh no, what have I done with your daughter?
Of course.
Already?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure this is a very common dad thing, but in the first, like, I took care of all the diapers to begin with. And the like second diaper I put on was back to front. You know, like stuff like that. Just stuff. Yeah. You just learn from it, because you don't know how to be a parent. I read all the dad books beforehand, and the only actual good bit of advice that was in the book was too hot is bad, too cold not as bad.
That's true. That is very good.
I'm looking forward to that special. That's going to be really good. Okay, guys, a couple of things quickly here. Everybody wants their wedding to be amazing. I think everyone understands that. You want to have just that perfect day. I feel kind of bad for this particular woman. She's telling the story now. She was getting married in Florida. What is it we know about Florida? Very, very hot. What does your body need to keep going? Hydration. So she gets up there. She's at the front of the line. All the guests are watching her. The groom is there. The officiant's in front of them. Starts getting a little wobbly. Passed out. Almost passed out. The groom caught her. Great. That's a good groom thing to do on day one of your marriage.
She's marrying the right person. That's good. Because imagine he's like, nope, not my problem yet.
I failed trust fall number one.
Hands in the air and everything. But
whoops.
I didn't touch her. You got that on camera, right? I didn't fucking do anything.
I didn't do it.
No, he caught her the first time. She gets back up on her feet and like, oh, wow, that's fucked up. Then she really passed out. Like, she passed out hard.
And he did all he could, right? He did it once. I mean,
yeah,
enough is enough.
First one's free, but
yeah, we got to talk about this if it's going to happen more than once.
So she passed out and she puked on her wedding day in front of all of her guests, in front of the officiant and her groom. It can't get any worse, right? I mean, that's mortifying. But she was hot. Long day already, even though it's only half over. She was dehydrated and passed out. That's not all. I'm going to let this poor girl, her name is Holly, explain how this day got worse.
So basically, it was just because I was super dehydrated and I hadn't drank or anything all day. It was also Florida, and it was so hot and humid that day. Like, we were drenched. I'm also prone just to like passing out. My doctor says I have low blood pressure and low iron, so I guess I was just doomed from the start. The funniest part of the story, I think, so after I like kind of like passed out, which wasn't like a full pass out because, you know, I was just kind of like blacking out. I didn't even know how to explain it, but anyway, so I ran over and luckily I wasn't really throwing up too much.
Hold on a second here. Hold on. Dude, are you sure you want to marry a girl that talks like that? Because that's going to get fucking irritating on day two.
I think the most true thing in all of that was, I don't know how to explain it.
I love when people need 2 minutes to say something they could have said in like 10 seconds.
And they say it up. It's always, there's always an uptick at the end. It's Florida, and it's really humid.
And I wasn't feeling well.
And I'm prone to blacking out. Like, that's a problem. Hang on, don't gloss over that. I'm prone to just fainting generally, you know, I'm driving cars, and I just stop driving, and just all of a sudden I fall asleep. You know, it's like, whoa, back it up.
Here's the rest of the story.
I wasn't really throwing up too much just because there was like nothing in my stomach.
Just a bit.
Anyway, my sister had a fan on my baby nephew, so she came over to me to put that fan on me, and as she's holding my nephew, he starts pooping, and the poop goes down her arm onto my dress. So I have a story to tell my nephew's wedding someday.
So she puked and then got shit on. And that wasn't even the honeymoon.
It was so hot.
It wasn't even a fun time.
It was so hot that the baby wasn't even wearing a diaper. Like, just everyone take your clothes off. It's too hot. The only one wearing clothes is the bride.
Projectile shits on her dress. Horrible.
And so the vomiting and the passing out happened before the feces.
Yeah. She was passed out, and then her sister came over, and she's like fanning her. But she was also holding her baby, and the baby had a real runny shit.
Like,
and
hey, I'm a baby. I just make a mess.
It came out the diaper, down sister's arm, and onto the dress.
I'm like 5 days old. You're making me sit out in this heat. Fuck you.
Also, can I just say, babies, get it together.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're really, your stock is dropping if you're just going to start crapping on brides. Like, come on.
I think
on.
It's great. I'd give points to the baby. This is a great story.
Great aim, isn't it?
Do you think the baby was like, all right, I got to put a cherry on top of all of this?
You think this is a bad scenario? Just wait. Hold my formula.
What does her doctor think? So, like, when she explains it, she's like, yeah, the doctor just kind of like says, I have like low blood pressure and I have like a low iron. And the doctor's like, can you get the thing out of here? Like, is he just done with it? I listened to this person talk for 15 seconds, and I'm like, get out of my office.
They're writing a script, like a super long one. Is that for me? Do I need to? No, I'm writing a script for myself to put up with your bullshit.
Yeah. Prescribe myself something if you're coming back here.
Every time you come here, I need to prescribe myself something new.
And Valium. Okay, all right, I'm all set.
Get out.
Is it ever okay, under any circumstances, to give somebody a Christmas gift that's used? Dave?
Since you made it so broad to say in any circumstance, I'll say yes.
Okay,
sure,
what is the circumstance?
Well, you have something that somebody likes, somebody has been to your house, says, oh my God, that thing is amazing, whatever it is, and you go, you know, I think they would like it. I should give it to them. I think they would use it better than I would and use it more often, and they would appreciate it more than I would. And then you go ahead and you give it to them.
Do you wrap it if it's used?
Yeah, do you disclose it that it was once yours, gifted upon you, and you decided to gift it upon somebody else?
I think a gift is a gift is a gift.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where it came from or how nothing you spent on it.
Yeah,
you don't
whatever.
Have to pretend and be like, oh, I can't find the receipt.
Well, when you open gifts, do you look at the person and go, I'm trying to figure out your budget. How much did you spend on this? No, I don't. If somebody gives me something, I'm like, oh, that's thank you. Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Apparently, this is the year where it's going to kick off informally. There's a lot more people who would like you to consider giving secondhand gifts because they're much more earth friendly. A lot of things would end up in a landfill had it not been for the power of gifting secondhand items.
I like that.
1 in 4 people claim they'd consider buying a used gift just so that it didn't end up in a landfill.
Ah, I like that.
40% say they would intentionally shop secondhand so that they could get a bargain. And 31% say they would do it in hopes of finding something more unique than the generic shit that's on the website but not available in store.
Fair.
Am I projecting? Because that's what my Christmas shopping's been like so far.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have any.
We're going to order it. It might be here before Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just pause Christmas then and you let me know when this item comes in.
So would you be okay getting a secondhand gift?
I'm okay with it.
Dave?
Yeah.
I'm not. What the fuck?
Really? Okay, hang on. So let's go with something you like, wine. Let's say it's your favorite bottle of wine. And I know you like duck horn. Let's say somebody gave me a duck horn and I just know I wouldn't appreciate it like you would.
I thought you were going to say baby duck or something like that.
No, nobody wants that. Nobody
That's the
does.
New Year's Eve one.
Yeah. So I give you that. Here, Merry Christmas.
You had the bottle at your
and
house.
And it's sealed, of course. It's not opened.
Okay,
it's
but
brand new. There's nothing wrong with it.
In that sense, it's not necessarily used. It's pre-owned, but it's not used.
Well, nothing's going to be used. I'm not going to give Dave a used chapstick. Like, of course it's not going to be used if it's a bottle of something. I'm not going to give you a half-lit candle either. But if I got a candle that I didn't like but I thought you might like, doesn't that count?
Okay, let's say, okay, here's an item that you maybe wouldn't expect. But let's say it's a mirror. It has a beautiful frame around the mirror, and the person comes over and is like, oh my God, I love this mirror. I remember seeing one once at a hotel. I love it. I would love to buy this, or if I could find it, but I can't find one anywhere. You've obviously used the mirror, but okay, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I guess that's fine.
It's not, you can't half empty a mirror, or unless it's broken or something, and then you won't want it anyway.
There's a little chip on the back, but it's fine.
The number one used thing that people would give as a gift for Christmas is books.
Ah, okay.
That makes sense, right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Oh, too much COVID?
Too much COVID, yes. No, it's not just that.
It.
No,
it's
not just that, but that's a very handsy object. It is, though. It's a very hands-on object. A lot of lick and page turns, perhaps. A lot of late night while you're drinking stuff. There might be stains on it. It's all ear bookmarked and shit like that. I don't know if that's a great gift to give.
I feel like you're an aggressive reader if you're up late drinking and really folding down rabbit ears on these.
Yeah, I am.
I would like to
No, ask... that's why I don't like lending books for that reason.
I'm going to ask everybody to think about this. Which member of the podcast does not have a library card? I think you now know.
Yeah.
So books, you know, like absolutely not.
Well, I wouldn't give it as, I'm just saying I wouldn't give it as gift. I would tell someone, let's say my mom was like, oh, that, because we actually do share true crime novels, but that's not a gift to her. I'll be like, oh, I'm done this one. It's really good. You want to try it? You want to check it out? Yeah. She knows I used it and that's fine and we're family, but I'm not going to gift somebody something I already read through. I wouldn't.
DVDs are number two.
Yeah.
Can I just say, though, I don't even know where you go to buy new DVDs anymore. I thought used was all they had.
Walmart.
Do they still make DVDs?
Walmart, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they make them.
They've got bins.
How much is a DVD these days? Is it still like $25 if I want to own Top Gun?
No, brand new one might cost you that much. So like I'll give you an example, Disney. So if let's say you don't have Disney Plus and you want to buy anything, Frozen for your kid, that's going to run you about $20.
Okay.
But that's now Blu-ray and all that.
Right.
DVDs are cheaper.
There's like four. You can get them for like $4, $5.
Okay. So for the most part, we're okay. For the most part with books, Kat, no, but the rest of us are okay. DVDs, they're probably fine. Now we get into some stuff that you might not want used. Toys and games.
Mm.
I have a hard time with a used game because as much as you try, you will never get all of the pieces back in that box. Never. And if I need an E for a triple word score and that fucking E tile is not in there, I'm going to be fucking mad.
You get Clue
for Christmas and you're like, it's obviously missing parts. So it was Colonel Mustard with the missing lead pipe in the conservatory.
With a Tic Tac? What is in this? What is this? Oh, sorry. I don't know how that got in there.
Here's
this
one.
Looks like a Frito chip.
With the Dorito in the lounge.
Oh, it was Professor Plum. With the Ringolo. Damn it.
Jewelry. Would you want somebody's used jewelry?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
What about hand-me-downs? That's a thing a lot of people will do. Like, grandma hands down her grandmother's earrings.
Yeah, and I guess you could consider that a gift.
Would you look at her and say, I would have preferred if you had stopped over at Charmed?
No.
Or something like, is that what you would say to grandma?
That's more of an heirloom. That's a difference. That's a bit of a different scenario, right? It's, I think, more, let's say you got a watch long ago. You barely wear it. Scott might like a watch, and then you give him a watch. That's where the scenario kicks in.
What about bags or purses used? You using somebody else's old purse?
I don't hate that if it's in good condition.
Ceramics and ornaments?
Yeah, because they're washable.
Washable.
She's very about the germs, eh?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's gross. Yeah, it's gross, okay?
Cat's dishwasher has like 9 books in it right now. I think this will work.
Well, just when you're talking about strangers, if it's someone you know really well and you want to give it to them something, that's fine. But if it's like an acquaintance, that's where... Eh.
One more thing I want to mention before we wrap up this episode. Going long again. They've compiled a list of the top mistakes that people made at Christmas or make at Christmas. And with 3 weeks to go, as of today, it's 3 weeks till Christmas Eve. You've got some time to hear this and not fuck it up. These are people that have screwed it up and can admit it. So we're going to tell you the mistakes people have made so that you don't do that.
Is this going to work?
Well, let's see.
All right.
Now, I don't think this one's going to work because everybody does it. Leaving the price tag on a gift is the number one Christmas mistake that people make.
Is it a mistake or do some people do that on purpose?
I don't want to out anybody.
Who would do that?
People do it on purpose if they spent a lot of money, or they want to make it seem like they spent a lot of money, but even though it was actually on sale somewhere, but the original price tag is on it.
I am going to not say any names. I might have married them. Mm. But in passing, a comment was made this week about an item that was purchased, and the comment was, I'm just going to leave the tag on this one because it was blah, 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 blah price. And I was like,
because it was an expensive one.
Is that a flex?
It's a flex. That's a total flex.
I've never done that.
Yeah.
I've never thought I'm going to leave this price tag on there so they know I spent a lot of money on them. Yeah. I've never thought to do that.
It's because your wife's a boss and you're a pussy.
It's a thing. It's a thing. And sometimes it's because you want to give that person notice, like put them on notice. Like, that's what I spent on you. You're cheap to me, but this is what I spent on you. Maybe it's that way.
Wow.
Maybe. Or maybe it's, I don't know. I'm trying to think of other scenarios why you would do it. Just to make yourself seem more ballin', maybe? I don't know.
You know what, though? I mean, that could go wrong in so many ways. Like, okay, yeah, I'm going to leave the price tag on because that's going to be my flex this Christmas. I want people to know. But what if it's not the right tag? You know, like, oh, you got me some AirPods. Wow, what a great gift. But then you see they're like from Factory Direct or something like that. So they're probably used
item.
Or knockoff or fucking clearance or something like that. I don't know. I think it's easier just take the tag off and give them a receipt if they really want to exchange it or something.
Which is not easy when you're shopping at HomeSense and Winners. What is the adhesive they use on those?
Honest to God, you're not kidding.
Oh,
that whole chain.
God.
See, all these years, I always thought my wife did it just because she forgot. And then when she made that comment this week, I was like, have you been doing this on
purpose? She did that to you?
Yeah.
She has done it to you.
I've got gifts in the past, but I also don't, I truly genuinely believe that she didn't think about it and just left the tag on it.
Well, when you're talking about your spouse, though, like I'm pretty sure I got my husband a piece of article of clothing that's more expensive than I would spend on an item of clothing. I probably left the tag on too. But only because that's my spouse, so I don't really care. I don't need to hide it. If it was my mom or why are you giving me that
Christmas.
Look?
What do you? Well, it's just my spouse.
He knows that this brand is expensive. He'll do it to me too. He'll do it to me.
What'd you get him? Is it designer?
Banana Republic jeans aren't cheap. It was like $150 or something like that for a pair of jeans.
$150
on jeans? He wanted good jeans. He didn't want no Old Navy, like, even though Old Navy's fine. Wow. I wear Old Navy.
Wow. Old Navy taking some shots for no
reason
here.
Sorry, Old Navy.
Shots fired.
He said he wanted
easy,
specifically not Old Navy jeans.
So he specifically said, don't get me Old Navy jeans?
No, I mean, he didn't.
Did he say, fuck Old Navy?
Old Navy's never going to sponsor this podcast now. I shouldn't have said Old Navy. That was an example. It could have been anybody. Gap.
Jordache. Go with something that's not coming after
Levi's.
You.
Levi's.
Wrangler. Something.
Silver.
Speaking of which, kind of off topic, but did you see that there's now Dodge, the vehicle manufacturer, as part of their launch of the new 2022 Ram, has got a set of cowboy boots to go with it? They're $650 US.
Sorry, it goes with it. You have to buy it? Or does it come with... It doesn't even come with the truck?
They're the optional Ram shit kickers.
You know what I call that? That's pandering.
I like that.
Know your audience.
I like that, though.
We're going to give you some spurs, and we're going to give you those truck nuts that you hang off the back. Because we know our audience, Dodge.
That's incredible. Wow.
You pull up to the Old Navy with these and people are going to go crazy.
I fucking love that.
Other mistakes that people make on Christmas Eve, running out of wrapping paper. Sorry, that they make when wrapping and getting ready for Christmas is they run out of wrapping paper on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you grab like a fucking garbage bag or something from under the sink and start taping, right?
That is when every person curses Dollarama for not being open past 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
You sons of bitches!
I can't believe it. They're not open. What a disgrace.
Sending out your Christmas cards too late so they arrive on like the 27th or the 28th.
Yeah, that's a sad look. Like you're over Christmas and you get a Christmas card in the mail. Like, oh, thanks.
Not getting someone a gift, but they got you a gift.
Oh.
But sometimes people come out of the blue with a gift and you didn't know they were going to get it. And you aren't even really sure if you want to get them anything anyway. Is it better to have a backup gift? Like, oh, upstairs, I've got a whole bunch of those OLG gift packs. Or a bottle of wine that I'm going to stick in a bag and write their name on the tag. I'll just pretend I'm going to the bathroom. People do that shit all the time.
All the time, yeah.
You have a stock of regular gifts just waiting to go grab one?
Backup gifts.
She does.
Don't even joke.
She does. She's got backup gifts in case somebody shocks her with a, hey, cat, Merry Christmas, so she can reciprocate with something else.
Do you seriously?
Yeah, I've done it before, yes.
What?
You just buy a few, like, something that I might use anyway, just in case, oh, maybe I don't need it. But, like, a few $25 LCBO gift cards or Starbucks gift card. That way it depends on who I'm giving it to.
Then you can use it if you don't have to give them anything.
So I can still use it. Yeah,
you have a backup gift inventory.
Yes, I do. Is that a bad thing? I think that's fine.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm surprised.
Okay.
If you get Kat something for Christmas, now you know what you're getting back. A $25 LCBO gift card.
Yeah. If I'm here writing something, no. I usually haven't had to use it. I rarely had to use it.
There's four or five names crossed off of this card.
But why can't you just be honest and say to them, oh, that's so nice that you got me something. I apologize. I didn't get you anything.
You can. I mean, you can. It's more about how you feel. If you feel like I'm the type that I would feel super guilty. I would feel guilty about that. Like, oh, we were supposed to exchange something. I didn't have anything ready. So
you get on there,
you
just like pull a handful of hair out. I don't know, here, this is for you. I don't know what to do.
I was a used book.
I'm not done it yet, but
you can finish it for me.
I think you'll like it.
But I just feel bad. So I do that. At least I feel like, okay, I've done something. Because sometimes you're unsure. Like I'll meet a girlfriend. For example, I'll meet a girlfriend for coffee around Christmas time. Catch up, whatever. It's not a formal, hey, let's do gifts. But all of a sudden she has something for me. I'll have something at the ready. I'll have it at the ready. And so, if I need to use it, I will use it.
What, do you keep it in a holster or a backpack or something just in case? Or do you have to run out to the car to get it?
Kat's walking around with a JanSport backpack filled with gifts that she may need to use.
I'm basically Santa Claus. That's my pouch.
So would you initiate? Let's say the conversation's great. You're having a great time with that person. Would you say, you know what? I got something for you. To give them something before you leave?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It's a backup. So it's more so if they initiate it. Then I'll do it. Otherwise, we're good.
What if they have a backup gift for you?
Then we both get to keep our backups and everybody goes, I'm happy. It's fine.
But then you didn't think enough of the person to give them a gift?
But what is it about giving a gift?
You just answered the big question. Why do you have to reciprocate with a gift?
Because I feel bad. It's about my feelings when I leave.
Christmas is about my feelings, by Kat Callahan.
I'll feel guilty. Like, and yes, I'm okay saying, I'm being honest. If I don't have something, I didn't know we were doing gifts. That's fine. But if I can manage to salvage that, then I will.
Okay, I'm just worried about getting caught. Because I would probably do that too, because I don't want to be that person.
You'd have someone else's name on it or something like that?
Well, something's going to go wrong with that. There's no way it can be planned out flawlessly because you don't know the circumstance that you'll find yourself in. And again, what do you, like, run out to the car and grab it? Or, oh shit, I forgot your gift in the car.
Hey, do you have a spare tire? Because I got you one.
Who wants Rain-X?
You need Armor-All wipes? Because I probably get you some of those.
It's a brand new pack of gum. Enjoy.
You like spearmint, right?
You know, I just saw spearmint at the store and thought, I know who would love that.
You like juicy fruit, right? No, you're right. No one likes juicy fruit. What an idiot. Get him something else. You guys want a seatbelt? I'll take it out. How about a car seat? You guys want a car seat?
How about a Honda manual?
I bet you, I could teach you everything you want to know about the Civic. The 2020 Civic is amazing. Here, look, read. I know you like books. I've got a family member who does that, where they qualify every gift they give you. They buy, like, here, Kat, here's a bottle of hand sanitizer. Because I know you really like to clean your hands. Here's chapstick, because I know your lips get really dry. It's like, I don't need the explanation. Just the gift's fine. You just end there.
Do they do that for everything?
Everything.
Oh, really?
Well, I was walking through Walmart, and I know Kat has lips. I'm going to get chapstick.
That's exactly it.
That's so funny.
Here's your gift. It's a key to my spare bedroom.
And I swear.
I didn't just take it off the ring. I just had this cut for you.
Did I just invite that person to live with me? I don't know what I've done.
You know what I thought you would really See? Like? I thought you'd really like the fob I used to get into the office.
It's a collectible.
And this is why you come prepared, so you don't end up handing out fobs.
Now you can do a radio show anytime you want.
Yeah. I got you a keyboard. Unplug it from the computer and bring it with you.
Here's my war amps tag. Oh. It's all yours now.
If you ever lose your keys, they'll come right to me. It's great.
Got one of these tags from the Air Cadets.
I bought an apple in your name.
I'm crying.
Oh, we got to go, guys. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend. We will be back on Monday, and we'll have a little more info on the protocol for how you can call into the podcast. Cheryl Hickey has Ed Sheeran on tonight, 7:30 on Global. If you miss it, it will be available on demand through ET Canada and Stack TV.
Let's just end with the list of apologies to Old Navy. We'd also like to apologize to Dodge, Pizza Pizza, Costco, and Alec Baldwin.
And Doug Ford. And,
well, no, we're not apologizing to Doug.
Not yet.
Fuck you, Doug!
Have a great weekend, guys.
The After 9 podcast is powered by Tony Johal, broker at RE/MAX Twin City. Your home sold guaranteed or he'll buy.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.